let's assume we were able to find properties that after we pay everything, we pay the mortgage, property taxes, insurance, property management, all that good stuff, we have $500 left over at the end of the month. Well, then it would be relatively simple to say, okay, well, then rinse and repeat 10 times. You have 10 properties that make you $500 a month. You got your $5,000. Now you have the freedom to decide, do I want to continue doing what I'm doing, or do I dial it back or stop it completely?
That I get from a lot of investors, and I'm sure, you know, investors in Quattro and investors on the show, investors outside, is why don't things cash flow right now? Where's my distribution? And that's what you have to focus on is look, guys, when you buy a property now or you bought one recently, you probably have a pretty decent basis on it, but you got to make sure that you keep the property fully funded and that you can get through the little bit of a storm we're sailing through right now, whether it be with a higher interest rate loan or something of that sort. And so don't focus on the distribution today. Focus on the horizon, because real estate is a long-term game.
You're listening to the Real Estate Runway podcast, powered by Quattro Capital, where we are all about alternative business and investment strategies to help you amplify life and maximize wealth. Here's your host, the recovering engineer turned multifamily investor, Chad Sutton.
All right. Real Estate Runway family, welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Runway Show. I'm your host, Chad Sutton. We're here with Axel Meyerhofer with Ideal Wealth Grower today. Some super special stuff to go through with you guys today. But first, let's get into who Axel is. Axel, welcome to the show. Tell us about yourself, friend.
Yeah, hey, Chad. Chad, thank you for having me on the show. So who am I? Well, I'm originally from Germany. I still have a little bit of the accent. Came over to the U.S. in the mid-90s with the Air Force because there was an exchange program where I basically had the opportunity to become an instructor flying F-111s, and the guy who did that before went to my unit and became an instructor to teach people how to fly the Tornado aircraft. We did that for a few years and then had an opportunity to switch to a program manager role in a flight training center in New Mexico. And that whole thing together allowed us to be in the States about three times as long as we had originally planned, meaning like almost 6 years. And by that time, you know, we gotten used to nice weather and a different culture and stuff. And I just said, hey, is there a chance to get a job and get a green card and all that good stuff? And it worked out. We moved to Santa Barbara, California, and started working. And I realized, okay, I'm probably not really ideally suited to be an employee. So in 2005, I thought, okay, there's a long mutiny story associated with it, but I don't want to bore you with that. So started my own business, and the main thing was initially to say, I think I can help other people be successful in leadership, which is what I studied. And I did a lot for 22 years in the Air Force. But then I also realized as a business owner, unless you do something yourself, there isn't really a plan like a 401k or something like that for retirement. So I looked around, and if you remember 2002, 2003, 2005, that was the time when the stock market totally went into the dumpster, and that's where I discovered real estate. Initially did it all purely for myself and my family and our retirement. And when I started talking about it with friends and family and colleagues and stuff, several said, well, I've never heard this, or I've never done this, or can anybody do this, and so forth, and that transitioned into, oh, you should tell other people. It's not just, you know, between us close friends. And they encouraged me to, I always call it, make it official, and that's how Idea Red Grower was born. And that's what we've been doing ever since, and growing our community, and still at it.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you were talking about becoming an instructor for the F-111s, you know, I'm an old engineer on this stuff. So I remember doing a lot of work on not that aircraft, but a newer version of military aircraft in the last few years. But I have visions of Tom Cruise flying through the air as a Top Gun instructor being chased right. by I forget the name of the main guy in the show. So that was you, right? You were basically an instructor training these badass fighter pilots, right?
It could have been, yeah. It's kind of interesting because so many people know Top Gun, and now even a whole new generation watch Maverick, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah.
Just recently, and what a lot of people aren't aware of, the Navy version, these planes that in the first Top Gun movie were called F-14 Tomcat. And that's a little bit where the Top Gun stuff comes from. And I was actually invited to Top Gun, which is the school of the Navy. It used to be in San Diego. And the Air Force version of that exact same plane is the F-111. So I didn't fly the Tomcat, but I flew the Air Force version of it. So, but I'm nowhere near the badasses of the Navy, because we always do everything by the book in the Air Force. And if you saw the movie, you know that they don't know how to do that.
Yeah. So if you guys are watching Axel right now, picture Tom Cruise doing a flyby and spilling coffee on the air traffic controller. That's what Axel was really like back in the day. But now that he's in the real estate space today, let's talk a little bit about the tribe that you've put together. So you bring a lot of value to people who kind of come and become part of your program and learn how to invest in real estate. So let's talk about what it is your tribe puts together, you know, what value you bring to your members, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is for the initial phase, and I typically estimate that to be about 6 months, and we actually give people the opportunity to say, hey, I don't want to necessarily make a decision to be a member in this tribe and program forever. I do the first 6 months. And the goal in that first 6 month time period is, on the one hand, on my part, to identify a suitable property that fits to the financial situation of this new tribe member, but also why we're doing our mentoring sessions, not just working on getting this first property to closing, but in the process also to start laying the foundation of what are all these variables that fall and need to fall into place to actually get, obviously, first this initial property, but then ultimately build a portfolio of high performing properties that will, over time, and we use certain terms that we have developed, on the one hand, get you on the journey to the time freedom point, which we define as the point where your passive income is equal or higher to your current life expenses. And I don't mean just food and shelter, but, you know, things like your vacation, your car, and your other things. So a comfortable life. And that is obviously a journey for a certain amount of time. And you need more than one property, obviously. But in the process of those first 6 months, we're laying the foundation to understand what are all the pieces. And then hopefully, and in most cases, I would say we're probably like a 90% success rate. People say after, or somewhere around that point of 6 months, hey, I really like what we're doing. Now I upgrade to the lifetime program, which is only a small upgrade, but which then transitions into not only growing the portfolio, but it also goes then into really putting all the different pieces that are necessary for generational wealth building in place. So how do you protect your family? How do you have an estate? How do you maintain anonymity? How do you make sure that if you ever get sued because some tenant thinks that the staircase in your property caused them to break their neck or something like that, that you're not getting wiped out? Those kind of things. It's a much more inclusive and comprehensive composition. And what I try to get people to, and that's how I see myself, even though I'm the mentor, but the role when it comes to what do we really want to do and ultimately accomplish with our money, is that you become and understand what it means to be the conductor of the orchestra of all the different entities, people, pieces, organizations that you need, so that with relatively limited effort, you can make a beautiful concert out of all the different pieces and different players.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but your group is focusing on residential real estate, so single family rentals, right? And so what you're trying to do here is say, okay, well, look, obviously there's a lot of opportunities out there for you to go invest in a group investment, like a syndication or something like that, on various business models. But, you know, one of the tried and true methods is just good old blocking and tackling with single family real estate. That is, you buy your own house, you put your own renter in there, maybe you have a management company, and you protect your assets and lease it for revenue. So, you know, I guess to get into this in a little more detail, you know, what is your ideal member of this tribe look like? You know, what are they looking for? And, you know, what part of the country do you typically guide them to find?
All right. So what we're basically getting in when we're talking about the properties and how do we arrange all of this in the residential real estate investing market is that when we talk about the time freedom point and that number, if you say, for example, Chad, my number is I need $5,000 a month in today's dollars, right? So then we need to look at, okay, how do we get to $5,000? And I just for your audience to make it relatively simple, let's assume we were able to find properties that after we pay everything, we pay the mortgage, property taxes, insurance, property management, all that good stuff, we have $500 left over at the end of the month. Well, then it would be relatively simple to say, okay, well, then rinse and repeat 10 times. You have 10 properties that make you $500 a month. You got your $5,000. Now you have the freedom to decide, do I want to continue doing what I'm doing, or do I dial it back or stop it completely? That's the simplest, simplified version. Now, obviously, many, many, many circumstances make a difference. Just to give you one idea real quick, why I say we and I preach, in a sense, that to do this, especially in today's market, you have to go into what I call high-performing market. What's the difference between high-performing and low-performing? If you look at where our company is in the San Diego area, the average houses in San Diego County, which is like the size of Rhode Island, like the county alone is the size of an East Coast state. But the average price of a house, nothing fancy or so forth, is somewhere in the $700,000 area. Right. So if you were to think about this as an investment property, for our performance criteria, you would have to find somebody who's going to pay you $7,000 in rent for that place. Now, even though the area is pretty crazy, but not that crazy. Right. So what you get for the typical houses is like between $4,500, maybe if it's a really nice one in a really nice location, you might get $5,000. So you're $2,000 a month under from our criteria perspective. Now take that same and you put that into Cincinnati, Ohio. Now you find that same house for $180,000, and it's not crazy to expect that somebody for that same nice house and the same nice garden and same nice garage pays you $1,800. Right? So that's, for example, one of the core tenets to say, well, when we're talking about performing properties, you have to do this somewhere in an area that is not typically in driving this. Because one of the things, and I am kind of pretty sure that you experienced this too, or have at least heard about it, that there is this notion that if you start investing in real estate, you are suddenly become a janitor. Right? And what I'm saying is, no, you are a business owner who is leading a team. That team includes lenders, that team includes insurance providers, this team includes title companies, this team can include other organizations that lend out money in different ways, like private money lenders or hard money lenders. This team also, and we like to work with them when it comes to these high performing properties, so-called turnkey providers, which are companies who find what I call the ugly duckling in a good neighborhood in Cincinnati, Ohio. They renovate it, they put it on the market for those $180,000, and their numbers are they buy it for 40, they put 60 in. So now they're 100 in and they put it on the market for 180. That's not a bad deal. But sometimes they put more in, maybe they're getting to 120, 130 and they put it on the market for 180. The only criteria that they have and we, and by the way, our lenders have too, is it needs to appraise for that number. So if we can say, okay, appraiser comes in and says, and that's by the way, another seat in the orchestra, right? The appraiser comes in and says, yep, I see this thing 180. The lender says, beautiful, I give you the loan. 80% of the 180 you get as a loan. Right? So now the question is, okay, why turnkey provider? And turnkey provider is answered because the people that renovated the property that we're buying from them are also the people who manage it. And I don't believe human nature, if you fix something and you know in 6 weeks when this has closed, I'm the one who has to fix anything that I didn't renovate well, you pay a little more attention. And that's also our experience. That doesn't mean that other wholesalers or flippers or stuff do bad work. But when you look at the long-term relationship that leads to generational wealth and long-term ownership of these properties, and they are very far away, so you can't just hop in the car and do anything about them. You want an organization that has an inherent interest. And the turnkey providers like one of mine that I'm working at, I started investing with them and they had 100 doors. So single family, duplex, triplex, fourplex kind of building. And they have more than 700, almost 800 now. So obviously they have successfully done this and they want to keep that community of investors happy. right? Because as soon as their reputation of finding, renovating, appraising, selling, and managing goes down the drain, then it's not just the new investors that walk, but everybody walks. The whole business concept collapses. Right? This is very different than a separate property management company or an organization that does flipping, or an organization that is building something fresh out of the ground and then sells them one by one, all those kind of things. So in a nutshell, finding where are these places where we can, in a reasonable amount of time, build this portfolio of assets that get us to the time freedom point, that's really the trick in a way. And that's what we teach. And then as soon as we get that kind of manifested with the first few investments, then we build that whole protective layer around it so that it really becomes like a family trust and an estate and legal protection and all these other good things.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff that you just said right there. And folks, listen to this, because the first thing is, you know, we all, the Facebook and the gurus out there have told you that investing in real estate is a passive thing. It is anything but passive. If you want to invest passively, go into syndication or somewhere where you're not touching a dang thing. Because everything that Axel is talking about here is you are the conductor of a symphony or an orchestra. I love that analogy. You have everyone on your team, from the turnkey provider to insurance to the real estate agent to the insurance broker, contractors, property management, everything in between. You have to make that orchestra sing to have a successful property, much less a successful portfolio of properties. And so this organization is what kind of, helps you with that mindset to figure out, okay, well, if I'm going to go own these properties myself, here's how I have to do it. And here's all the mitigations I need to put into place to make sure I have a successful portfolio. And then coming to the second distinction that I took from your talk there, turnkey providers. So one of the biggest objections that I hear to single family real estate from investors is, well, gee, it's hard to get economies to scale. It's hard to get good property management companies, right? And there's some truth to that. If you just go and buy a property randomly and you find some mom and pop property management company in the area to run it, you're right. You're probably not going to get, the cream of the crop as far as operational excellence goes, because there's no alignment of interest. It probably is not, the house is not in that great a condition, and they're going to want to do everything they can to make that thing rent easily, where you're not going to want to spend that kind of money because it's an investment, So the benefit, and I've never thought of it this way, so it's a great point you brought up. When you focus with a turnkey provider, especially in a market where that is not your own, where you're not there physically present to monitor things, you're getting someone who is actually good at finding low basis properties. They're going to go do the work and fix it up really nice to where it's easy for them to maintain. I never thought about that, but when they're the one maintaining it, they're going to make a good product for you. And then they're going to bring you as an investor to recapitalize it, own it, get the cash flow. They're going to take their money out and go do it again and hopefully sell you the next one. So the alignment of interest is there. They want it to be built well so that they can operate it well. They want to they want to give it to a good investor like you who's going to cash flow, and then they want to go do it again. So everything is in the right alignment for you to have a successful investment. I never thought about it that way, Axel.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ted. And there's one additional layer that is maybe the cherry on the icing of that cake, and that is the requirement for maintaining a good reputation in the context of the tenant. Because if you think about it, at least that's my experience, these turnkey providers operate in relatively, definable areas. Like, for example, the one that I mentioned with the now almost 800 doors is basically in the area between Dayton and Cincinnati. You could do like, and if you stick, there's a little bit kind of funny, there is a place called Middletown. I own a few properties there. And you do like a 30, 40 mile radius around it. That's basically their operating area. Not a huge geographical area. And now you're thinking 800 doors. That means, typically in the mostly single family type properties, you have 2, 3, 4 people in each one of those properties. So that's thousands of people. And a successful organization, I think anybody who listens to us would agree to that. It doesn't even matter in which industry. Has to do with your reputation. But if you then say I'm constricted to like a 30 square mile area or stuff like that, and there's an organization that has 800 properties to fill and they start, for whatever reason, get a bad reputation, they're not going to get the best tenant. Right? So you, as much as on the one hand, you want to have all the things, all the components you just mentioned to come together, including a good reputation for responsiveness, to have good systems, to have good customer service, to have a good team. Now, some of them, and I really applaud them for it, start having their own team of electricians and plumbers and masons and stuff like that. So if there's maintenance to be done, it's not going out to somebody in town, but sending their own team. Now, you obviously have to do, and can only do this when you're here. But think about it. You and I and anybody that is in our tribe or your community who wants to have a tenant to pay those $1,800 for $180,000 property, they want for that money good service on the property management side. And they would be the ones who run around that community of 33 MIs to say, ABC organization is not really taking care of their tenants. Now then it starts hurting the whole investor community. So these interests, this additional interest, I think, is not to be underestimated. How well do they actually treat the tenants that they recruit on behalf of the investor? Because obviously any investor who doesn't consistently get the rent income is not going to stay with them. See, that's the other thing. We can get the property through them and probably get a slightly better property than we might get otherwise. But if they don't perform on property management, there's plenty of other property managers in the area, and obviously they know that too. Right? So there are so many dependencies, and I mean, I always use the, I don't know if I want to call it a joke, but the analogy to say, like you said, right, we are the conductor of the orchestra, but we don't need to watch them practice. We have the right to expect that they come fully trained and pick up their instrument. And that includes all these different for whatever their role is and whatever instrument they play.
It's almost like you write the score for them to play, and then you say, here you go play it, and you can trust that they're going to play every note.
That's what you do, right? When you go to anybody who is providing the property to you or managing it, you tell them three times the income, no bad history, do a background check, all those kind of things. Check the income, check the employment. That's the script for that particular instrument. And you can take that through for pretty much every single one. If you have lenders and the one is a 1% or 1.5% more expensive in the origination fee of the money, or has all kinds of additional fees, or cannot get a reasonable interest rate or stuff like that, well, you will give them the script, I'm sure.
Yeah, I love the way that comes together. And so let's pivot for a few minutes before we kind of bring the episode to a head. You know, we're in November 2023 right now. We're coming out of, you know, a pandemic, the largest inflation run we've seen in many, many years, the largest interest rate run up we've seen in many, many years, and, you know, an interesting effect on the real estate market. So, you know, I've had a lot of commercial real estate and other players here to talk about that on the show, but I'm just curious, from your perspective, you know, how is the current local economic environment impacting the strategy that you're teaching to your tribe?
It has not, and I don't think will impact the strategy at all. What is important to understand is that we have to be willing to accept a little bit delayed gratification, is what I would call it. What I mean by that is there were times, and I want to really put this on a scale, if you allow me a minute or two to speak about it. We had times where you could get in the 4% range of interest rates for investment properties. And especially at the beginning, like 2021 timeframe, which seems early 20s, but then through 2020, 2021, interest rates were still relatively low, especially in 2020. You could get a 4 handle on the interest rate, and you could find properties for relatively reasonable amount of purchase prices. Like, I remember early 2020, I bought properties for $85,000. There's not a chance in hell for anything reasonable that you can find that anymore in those locations. And we're talking at least 130, 150 and upwards now for the same exact property. So that was low interest rate, inventory at reasonable price. Now, that created instant gratification in the sense of, we started this conversation when I said, just imagine you get a property and you're making $500 positive cash flow after everything. That was possible. What we have now is, well, I should say one more thing. In that environment, We competed with everybody, professional, unprofessional, and their grandmother, because everybody wanted to get into real estate and buy houses, either for their own use or as an investment. And you even started having hedge funds and whatever, and things that I couldn't even pronounce were trying to get into. So from an investor perspective that you and I and our tribe members, we had competition up the gazoo. It was not hard to find properties and was hard to win a deal, which ultimately led to the fact that the prices kept exploding. And we all saw these TV things with 160 people lined up to go and look inside the property and outbid each other and all that kind of stuff. So when I think about where are we now with this delayed gratification is we have much higher interest rates, like with an 8 handle right now for investment properties. And we're not making the $500. We can probably on a similar property be happy if we make 100, maybe 150, super happy if we get 200. But 100 is probably more reasonable. So we're basically foregoing those $400 that we could have had in 2020. But we have no competition. There's almost nobody other than us investors who understand the foundation, what I meant, what I'm trying to get into people in the first 6 months to teach them. Because right now, and I think probably still through next year for the most part, we're in this, and I don't know if it's really quite true to attribute it to Warren Buffett, but he basically said something to the effect, sell when everybody is jubilating through the streets, and buy when the blood is running in the streets and everybody is kind of on their knees and crying. And I know we're not really blood in the streets and people on their knees, but if you look at the sentiment that we get about real estate, and luckily, I always see it as luckily that the people that are supposedly the experts and pundits and stuff like that don't even differentiate between commercial or residential or, residential commercial or all these different kinds of things. There's probably, I guess if I sat down, at least 50 plus different categories. And we are like maybe in two of those 50. But the sentiment is overall very bad. And I really, really believe if we are willing to say instead of $500, I'm getting $100 now, but I can select out of all the available properties out there. And I know, and I think this is not far-fetched, that in 3 years I can get back to a 500. So I'm going to get back to my $500, but I own these properties without competition when I had to basically overpay 3 years ago, which is not that long, just to get the foot in the door. Right. So that's the situation the way I see it right now. It's a very emotionally down market with tons of opportunities. If, and I'm sure you say the same thing. Real estate investing, whichever category you do, is not a get-rich-quick scheme anyway. So if you're going in eyes open, you have somebody like me or you that is willing to teach you the roles, what is your role and how do you become a conductor of this orchestra, then you have great opportunity right now to secure wonderful properties, because those who have to offer them or want to offer them, they don't have that many choices who they can sell. Which means you get higher quality, you get like build to rent properties that where the builder is buying down the interest rate. I've seen as low as 2.9% just because they need to get rid of the property that they just built. And 3 years ago, they couldn't build them fast enough. They couldn't even finish them. And they had like made money pouring out of their pockets because they could sell them for much more than they ever anticipated.
That's
so
how
for
it goes.
Competition and willing to say I can break even for 3 years and then I make my money, but I have the choice of the litter.
That's how it goes. And look, I mean, folks, as an investor, your basis is what's most important, right? What you buy the property, you really do. You make your money when you buy. And if you have to deal with some temporary high interest rate debt, but you're still cash flowing, it's probably worth it, because what goes up does come down, both in market and interest rates. And so, you know, we may not see that. We were at Disneyland for many years at 2 or 3% interest rate. We probably won't see that again, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that 5 or 6 is the new norm when we get back down to it. So, you know, buy it now. It doesn't cost that much to refinance a loan down the road. If you get, you'll be much happier that you buy with less competition at a lower price than the other way around. And the beauty of it is, in general, you know, we're not going to see a whole lot of blood in the streets, I don't think, on the residential side. There is going to be some, you know, but you think about it, most people who own a home locked in an interest rate at, you know, 3% over the last few years. And so maybe there's not a lot of inventory because they're not selling. But there's likely not going to be that big of distress. And if it is, it's because of a job loss or something. It's not because they bought a property they can't afford, you know? And so we'll see where that goes. But I think in general, you're right. You know, we're not going to see mass blood in the streets, but there are some sales that are happening right now. And if you can just get by with a little bit of cash flow now for a good basis, you're going to be much happier in the long run. And, you know, the big question that I get from a lot of investors, and I'm sure, you know, investors in Quattro and investors on the show, investors outside, is why don't things cash flow right now? Where's my distribution? And that's what you have to focus on is look, guys, when you buy a property now or you bought one recently, you probably have a pretty decent basis on it, but you got to make sure that you keep the property fully funded and that you can get through the little bit of a storm we're sailing through right now, whether it be with a higher interest rate loan or something of that sort. And so don't focus on the distribution today. Focus on the horizon, because real estate is a long-term game.
Yeah, if you don't mind, can I add one little thing in addition to what you said? One thing that we do, because you asked me, has your strategy changed? And it hasn't really changed, but we added one little component. And that is we have made agreements with lenders who provide so-called bridge loans. So normally you would go and say, okay, I buy a property 80% funded and 20% down payment. And you just mentioned completely rightfully so that the cash flow is very low. What we are doing to compensate for that is to say, okay, if we can bridge loan some of the down payment, and we have now opportunities to bring this down to half, so instead of 20% down, you're only putting somewhere in the area of 10% down, right? So instead of on a $150,000 property, you're not putting $30,000, you're putting $15,000. And then you fast forward 4 or 5 years from now and you refi, which also means you basically pay off the bridge loan. You only got $15,000 in the property, and it really starts cash flowing. So then we're starting to look at a completely different ROI than if you had put twice as much. So there are ways to react to the circumstances, because if ultimately the question is, do I make $125 in cash flow or $75 in cash flow, when the numbers get that small, I believe it is smarter to say then my initial investment should be as little as possible to secure the property, and the real benefit comes in 3, 4, 5 years from now.
Yeah, it's a good thought. And you know, it all comes down to, as long as the property can support the debt and you don't over leverage, but if you're getting a good basis, then in theory, you should be able to leverage it to the hill and back. So that's good.
Yeah, but there's one thing, and I think most people, and I'm guilty of this, the first person to raise my hand is, we are emphasizing the cash flow in the context of the time freedom point somewhere 8, 10, 12 years into the future. But for the people to realize, at least for our tribe members, and I hope that is true for your audience as well, when we are on that journey and we are accumulating property, whether it's $500 a month or $150 a month in distribution, we are not in need to consume that, right? So if that is a true statement, then the real aim of the game is to accumulate the assets, put as little of our own money into it as possible. And that's why we're even doing this additional little step. I'm normally a big advocate of not going further than 80-20. But when the interest rates are this high and I know I don't need the $500, the $300 or the $150 distribution, then I might as well keep my own investment in the property as low as possible until the circumstances are in a much better place, and then I can start developing the performance. But when it really comes to it, the true performance needs to happen at the time freedom point. The fact that it might already give me some positive cash flow out of the asset portfolio a few years before I reach that full number, yeah, that's nice, and obviously we can use that money to invest more. But opportunity, as we have it right now, for as little investment as possible, I think it's priority, as long as it's true that the people that do the investment are not dependent on the distribution, which is probably 99% of the time.
I love it. That makes sense. That's a good place to land the plane. So see what I did there from a pilot. So there we go. We put our aviators on and finish.
It was a good one. Every time you can walk away from it, it was a good landing.
That's right. That's right. So let's go to a couple of questions real quick to get to know you a little bit better for the audience. What is your superpower, Axel, life or business, and how does it serve you well?
I would say my superpower is and has always been to see the big picture with a strategic, strategic perspective, meaning I can see how the different pieces fit together and then deduct from that what is most likely going to happen, which, for example, why do we do bridge loans when we normally don't want to overburden the property, like you said, rightly so? Why? Because the big picture indicates that this is a certain circumstance for a limited period of time right now.
That makes a lot of sense. And so let's kind of flip that coin over a little bit, Axel. What is your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Can I change failure to weakness?
We can go with weakness. That's fine.
Okay. Because I think it is a weakness to always wanting to educate people, even if they have already indicated that they're ready to purchase.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Some very good friends who know me well enough and know that I'm not hurt when they tell me that, they say, can you not just shut up and let them sign?
Fair enough. You have a teacher's heart. That's respectable, though. And question number three, here at Quattro, you know, we have four pillars that we run this company by. One of them is philanthropy. Okay. So we love taking care of people and putting goodness back into the world. And I love to give my guests an opportunity to share your philanthropic heart and where, you know, you give your time, talents, and treasures. And you never know, sometimes the audience actually will come back and donate on your behalf. So what's that for you?
Well, they don't need to donate, but I want to give them something. So if you go to our website and you put in free behind ideawealthgrower.com, you can download the free mindset manual that I wrote, because I believe there are too many people who see themselves as victims rather than of creators of their own future. So to help them out, I wrote a whole thing with some exercises and stuff like that. And I want to at least mention it. I know we didn't have time to touch on it very much today, but I believe a form of philanthropy that we are now starting into is to help people to get into home ownership for something like $4,000 down and like about $900 a month without all the hoopla and all this other, excuse my French, bullshit that then banks and lenders normally make people to go through. So we really have started a mission to say we want to increase home ownership in the United States, and doing that for a minimal amount of money, and all you need to show us is dependability and paying your monthly rent.
I love that mindset, and that's incredible. So what is the best way to get in touch with you, Axel, to learn about your tribe and to maybe, you know, have some of these conversations on teaching that you talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to ideawealthgrower.com, there's a button for scheduling a call, and there's also a button to sign up for the newsletter. Or if you like to hear a little bit more of our philosophy, you can go to idealinvestorshow.com, which is my podcast. And again, there is a button to book a call, but it also, every day, I have a little kernel of information that I believe could help you. And so if you'd like to listen into that, then that would be a good place to go.
Fantastic, folks. That is idealwealthgrower.com. And just scroll down wherever you're watching this, listening to this, or swiping this at, and you'll have it right there for your clicking pleasure. So Axel, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing some of your knowledge, and kind of focusing on single family real estate and a better way to do it. We don't get a lot of that on the show, so thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And if my editors pick up on this cue, maybe we can cut to some good Top Gun music as we sail away or fly away on this episode. This has been another episode of the Real Estate Runway Podcast. Folks, if you get any value out of this or anything else we put out there, like, subscribe, swipe, engage, just do something with the show to show the viewers out there that you like it, and pay it forward to someone just like you. All right. We're going to conclude the episode here. Talk to you next week.
We hope this episode was insightful and brought value to your day. If so, please be awesome and leave us a 5-star review. Find out how Team Quattro can help you at thequattroway.com. Until next time, this is the Real Estate Runway Podcast.